This morning we're going to start off with John chapter 13 verses 15 through 17. John chapter 13 verses 15 through 17. As usual, I'll be reading from the New King James Version of Scripture. I invite you to go to your scriptures and we'll look at this together. John 13 verses 15 through 17. Here we see Jesus is talking with his disciples and he tells them there, "For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." Key verse, verse 17. If you know these things, now that this is the key term, if you know these things, look at that word know. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. He says, hey, it's not just about knowing, it's also about doing.
Amen.
To understand this, to understand the text, they always say, you got to understand the context. We see that Jesus had just finished washing the feet of his disciples there in John chapter 13, and he had performed a dramatic example of service. He had taken that place of a servant. He had done the duties of that lowly servant, that lowly, what do you say in the Greek, the doulos. And notice his intention. His intention was to show them, his disciples, that their true objective was to serve and not be served. Their focus was to help others. They would and then this would ultimately help themselves. It would be beneficial. The key point is if he, Jesus, as their master, had been willing to act as a servant, they, as his disciples, should be willing to do the same. Jesus had even explained this idea, this fact, earlier on his way to Jerusalem. In Mark 10:45, he states, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So when you look at this message of the text, the message is, if they, the disciples, understood Christ's example, his lesson, and then were willing to perform such acts of service, they would be blessed and truly happy. We see a need for understanding. We see a need for action. Not just knowing what to do was sufficient. They needed to understand it. They needed to act on it. As it says in verse 17, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them, there has to be action. The key point is this: service to others, ultimately serving and obeying God, leads to happiness both now and in eternity. We will be blessed. We will consider ourselves fortunate, call ourselves blessed and happy. This verse 17 has one of my favorite words there in the New Testament. That word makarios, it means blessed, it means fortunate, it means happy. You know, when you look at this whole concept of happiness and how it's obtained, and I thought about this, you know, as we're going into this new year, and we make resolutions. Now think about this. This concept of happiness, when you look at the world, there are ideas about happiness. There are ideas about happiness and how it's obtained. When you go into the world, their ideas are by, well, happiness is obtained by getting stuff. A lot of us just got stuff over this last holiday. But we, of course, appreciate it most because it was the thought that counts. But we've gotten stuff. When we were little, we wanted to get up that morning, that Christmas morning, because we knew we were getting stuff. Okay? People think that getting stuff, that obtaining those material goods, are going to give you happiness. And we learned from our childhood was, you know, I remember saying, you know, "Mom and Dad, if I could just get this, if I could just have that one thing, I'd be happy." Then I got older, you know, you would say, "Well, if I could just do this, I'd be happy. Or get this job, or get this degree, or get whatever it is." Some people say happiness comes from being well known, being famous. Some people, and I totally understand this, people say, well, you get happiness by spending time with your family. And when you think about this, getting stuff, becoming well known, spending time with your family, none of these things are wrong in and of themselves. It's okay to get stuff. It's okay to be well known. It's okay to spend time with your family. It all comes down to the important point is that battlefield of the mind is what our priorities are. You know, the thing about it is this world has a big, giant, enormous lack of happiness. You talk about a deficit. You know, where can we find that true lasting happiness that's consistent? Who knows how we can be happy? What is that? What can be the source of our happiness? The answer is, as God's children, we will be happy. We can be happy in all situations and circumstances. And the world says that is just not true. That is absolutely not true. But the Bible says, yes, we can. Brother Tim was so right this morning when we were talking in our Bible class about saying that what would our world be like if we could not turn to God, if we didn't have that hope? How true that is. We need to consider how we've been conditioned. We need to ask ourselves, what makes us happy? What makes you happy? Me happy, us happy, as we're approaching this new year of 2020. Can't believe it. We're 20 years from, remember that whole Y2K thing? Now we're 20 years hence. You talk about tempest fugit, time flies. We're 20 years into this new 21st century. Wow. You know, this is a time for many that they make resolutions. Where they say, I need to make a change in my life. And one resolution I know I need to make is to serve God better. Because the benefit of that is that's going to make me a happier person, no doubt. And I humbly offer that to you, is make a resolution to serve God better and you will be a happier person.
Amen.
You can be blessed. As God's children, we are blessed if we do His will. That's my main point, thesis statement, whatever you want to say. As God's children, we are blessed if we do His will. We are blessed if we are happy in all situations and circumstances, and we can be. Yes, we can be rich. In our class this morning, that was one of those things that just resonated with me. We talked about riches. Brother Roger made a very appropriate statement. We can't judge who's rich. Then he said this, and I thought this is so true. Happiness is a part of being rich. Yes, you can be a rich person. You can be the richest person if you're happy. Happiness comes with having your priorities correct. What did Jesus say there in Matthew 6:33? If you go there to His Sermon on the Mount, you go there to Matthew 6:33. I love that statement. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things. If we would just have that as our top priority, serving God and doing His will. In Romans 14:17, the Apostle Paul explains, he talks about this. He talks about the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus says, you know, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay, that's one of those things we need to do. That's our top priority. If you notice there in Romans 14:17, the Apostle Paul explains he's going to talk about the kingdom of God. And he tells us, as any good educator, thank you, Dr. Lester. I remember years ago he taught me, G. Sidney Lester, what did he say? Education comes down to two main things, telling people what not to do and what telling people to do. Thank you, Dr. Lester. And that is, of course, we have the master teacher, Owashti, an apostle of the master teacher, following in his footsteps. What is Paul doing here? He is telling us what it isn't and what it is. He's giving us the negative, he's giving us the positive. Romans 14:17, New King James Version. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. But what is it? It's not these physical things. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. But then he gives us, he goes for the negative, then he goes for the positive. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. But what is it? But righteousness and peace and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The message is, as God's children, we will not find meaning and happiness in material things. It's okay to have material things, but we're not going to find meaning and happiness in it. We will find it. We will find it. Okay? We will find it. True meaning and happiness in right doing and living. So let's think about this. I would say that would be something in your life you're trying to do. You want to find true meaning and happiness. How are you going to find it? In right doing and living. In doing the things that promote peace. In following the teachings of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures. The emphasis here is on the spiritual. Look there in Romans 14, 17. The emphasis there is on the spiritual. Spiritual qualities and not on material things. The Christian, we can be joyful. We should be joyful. We as Christians should be joyful. One of the big problems out there. I've mentioned this guy before, but he was so right in saying this. Friedrich Nietzsche, the guy who said God is dead way back in the 1890s. Later, he blows his head off. Poor man, God's not dead. But one of the things he once said was one of the reasons why he didn't want to become a Christian was because all those people who professed to be Christians were not joyful. And Friedrich, you're right. We need to be more joyful. I don't blame you on that. But what he should have done is gone to God's Scripture and find out. And there are joyful Christians out there if you look for them. I need to be more joyful. You do too. The Apostle Paul mentions this idea, this goal, this aspiration to the brethren at Philippi. In Philippians 3:1, he tells them, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." He continues in this same idea in Philippians 4:4, where he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." I need to be more joyful. When we surrender ourselves to Christ, make His will our own, we can truly rejoice. In spite of afflictions and obstacles, and when I want to complain about the afflictions and obstacles that I have in my life, I need to think about other people too. There's a lot of people out there who have it worse than I do, than you do, than we do. In spite of afflictions and obstacles, we can have a sense of happiness and blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, what does it say? Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. We can have that blessed assurance. But even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of problems, even in the midst of persecution, we as Christians can feel blessed and happy. The Apostle Peter understood this idea. He states there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Let me get that out right. If you should suffer for righteousness' sake. He's talking about suffering. 1 Peter 3, 14. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are fortunate. You are blessed. You should be happy. The world says you should be happy if you're suffering. Notice this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. Notice what he says there. He says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. What's his message? There's going to be times where we're going to suffer for our obedience to Christ. So when these things happen this year, you need to think about this. When you serve God, serving God also brings suffering. Serving God also brings suffering. Remember what Paul says there in Philippians 3:10. That I should know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Amen. With service is going to come suffering. If you're going to be glorified, there's going to be suffering. You know, people may say evil things, misrepresent us, tell us things that destroy our reputation. But our attitude is we should consider ourselves blessed, happy, and spiritually prosperous. The important question is this my attitude? Is this my attitude? I need to work on it. Is this difficult? Yes, it is. It's difficult at times. The Apostle Paul understood this idea, 2 Corinthians 12:10. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians 12:10, a person who had never read this or they are operating from the playbook of the world, they would say this is absolutely crazy talk. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. I need to take this into my life. Paul says this. He says this. Therefore, and he uses this Greek word. Therefore, eutychia, I take pleasure, I delight in. EU means good, dokeo means to seem or to believe. It's or I feel. I take pleasure in. This is a good thing. I take pleasure in. I delight in. I think well of. I approve of what? What does he take pleasure in? Notice the things that he takes pleasure in. In infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. Now, he's not one of these people, you know, there's some people who do this, but they do it for the wrong reason. Notice how he qualifies this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. Three words. For Christ's sake. And then he gives his reason. He's saying, I take pleasure in these bad things that happen to me. Because I'm doing it for Christ. And then he explains it. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What's his message? Paul appreciated the value, the benefit of his injuries, sufferings, weaknesses for the cause of Christ. He had a measure of satisfaction and even happiness in these things. And this is very, very counterintuitive. It's not how most people react to consider struggles, troubles, and injuries. You see, he had a positive rather than a negative reaction. You see, the key point is this. Paul's attitude, and this is the key point, when he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The greater his trials might be, the more he would realize the value of God's help. Again, the greater his trials might be, the more he would realize the value of God's help. He wanted to learn how to trust God, to truly rely on Him. Amen. We need to understand that happiness is a state of mind, not circumstances. Yes, we are blessed if we are happy in all situations and circumstances. And we can be. We are blessed if we are content with what we have, and we can be. We need to consider the blessing of each single day that the Lord has given to us, to be blessed, to live another day. In Psalm 118:24, the psalmist writes, he states, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Notice this, when he writes this. He writes, this is the day the Lord has made. He doesn't say we might rejoice or may rejoice. He says we will do it. It's not maybe. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to live our life one day at a time.
Amen.
Jesus makes this very clear in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 28-34. I need to appreciate more and more what I have. I need to learn contentment. Paul had learned this. He mentions this in Philippians 4:11. He talks about learning contentment. Then notice what Paul tells Timothy. What Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6 through 8. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we have brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. And I think about that at times with the thing. Sometimes I get to that pity party of thinking what I don't have, and I need to realize and to appreciate the blessings that I have pushed down and overflowing. And I'm blessed. I'm a truly blessed man. I can see five of my chief blessings, the blessings that I have with my brethren. Thank you, God, for the blessings that I have.
Amen.
Godliness, contentment. You know what? When you talk about contentment, this is what it says there. It says satisfaction with what one has. It's from the Greek word autarkeia. It means an inward self-sufficiency. It denotes an inward peace, an inward satisfaction, an inward fulfillment. And it is not, see, this is the key thing. It is not dependent on outward external things. You see, contentment is not a function of, it does not depend on the place or the circumstance. It depends on the attitude, the condition of the heart. And what does he say there? What does Paul write to his son in the faith? There in 1 Timothy 6:8, he says it is great gain, quite a benefit to have godliness and contentment. We need to understand that the necessities of life, food and clothing, are sufficient. With these things, we can be happy, we can be content. And this is not what the world says. If we depend on God, if we truly trust in Him, we can learn to be content. And this is not a maybe. As Paul says, we shall be content. We need to have a proper relationship with things, with material riches and earthly treasures. It's okay to have these things, but they cannot be our be-all and end-all. We need to remember, covetousness, wanting what another person has, is the great enemy of contentment. We need to be happy and at peace with what we have, and know that it's sufficient. Who we are is not based on our bank account or what we have. Jesus so clearly discussed this in Luke 12:15, one of my all-time favorite verses, which absolutely runs counter to what the world says. Read Luke 12:15. I love it, love it, love it. But then the world can say all they want to. This is the Son of God, the Master Teacher, saying it. Yes. We can be happy. We are blessed if we are happy in all situations and circumstances. And we can be. We are blessed if we are content with what we have. And we can be. We are blessed if we are givers and not takers. And we can be. In Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus talks about this. He says, then he also said to him who invited him. The context is Jesus had been invited to the house of an important Jewish ruler. That's the context. Luke 14, 12 to 14. And Jesus, being the master teacher, guess what? He offers a negative and a positive. He offers a negative then a positive teaching. Notice this. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 12. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. You know, we've all been there. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. The key point is this. We need to help the distressed, those in need, the sick, the hurt, the disabled. He is, you know, Jesus here, he's explaining who should be invited and who shouldn't be. He says you need to invite those who cannot repay you. We need to take the idea of repayment out of the equation. We're repaid by God. You know, there in Acts 20, verse 35, Paul talking with the Ephesian elders, what does he say? He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul had set a good example. He had worked diligently to support himself and others. He had taught them to help the less fortunate, those who were unable to provide for themselves. And he reminds them and us of Christ's message about giving. Jesus had said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When we have, you know, our focus should be on helping and loving others, not in accumulating more wealth. When we have the attitude, the heart of a giver, we get back what we give. Love, kindness, and peace of mind. Amen to that. Yes, we are blessed if we are happy. We are blessed if we are content. We are blessed if we are givers and not takers. And we are, absolutely are blessed if we are hopeful and not fearful. At times, living our lives can be challenging and frustrating. We can feel alone and afraid and be in the grip of fear. And I've been there. And it's easy to feel that way if we don't have God in our life. The key point is this: we can be hopeful. We're not alone in this journey called life. We are blessed. We can feel that we are blessed. More importantly, we can know that we are blessed if God is in our lives.
Amen.
He is with us. Remember what Moses said to the children of Israel there in Deuteronomy 31:6 about God and His faithfulness. He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. As Paul tells us there in 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. What a great encouragement this is. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has absolutely not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Let this year make that resolution to turn to God and depend upon Him more and rely on Him. So what's the message? We will be blessed, we'll be more happy, we'll be more fortunate if we let God have His way in our life. Let God have His way in your life this next year.
Amen.
Allow Him to work through us. Allow Him to work through you. I need to allow Him to work through me. Let's have Paul's attitude. He tells us there in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, who strengthens me. We can and we need to be hopeful. We have the promise of eternal life and a home in heaven with God. As God's children, we are blessed if we do His will. We are blessed if we are happy in all situations and circumstances. And we can be. We are blessed if we are content with what we have, and we can be. We are blessed if we are givers and not takers, and we can be. We are blessed if we are hopeful and not fearful, and we can be. We come now to our invitation. In today's message, we've talked about being blessed by God, and if you're not a Christian, a non-Christian, you need to consider some questions. Do you want to be blessed by God? And if you do, you need to do as well. Not just know it, you need to do it. He wants you to change your life. To do this, you must become saved. You must hear and read God's holy word and believe in Jesus Christ. Confess His name, repent of your sins, and be baptized and start your Christian walk. But this invitation is for me and you as Christians. We need to consider some questions. Do you, do I, do we wish to be blessed by God? If you do, we must do God's will. We must allow Him to control our lives for today and throughout this next year and throughout our next life so we can glorify Him for eternity. You can't find blessings in this world, only in God through Jesus Christ. Recommit your life to Christ today. If you wish to respond to the invitation, please come forward. We stand and say the invitation hymn.